Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Would you pray with me, please? Six questions in this passage that we read, posed rhetorically, with the conclusion at the 11th verse, the conclusion, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's important to understand and to appreciate. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law, can I say this way, has no electric connection. It's powerless, except in keeping with its purpose. And its purpose is to point out sin. The purpose of the law is to point out sin. But it can't enable you or me in any way to keep the law. It can just point out the errors, can point out the flaws. That's the purpose of the law. Now, those questions, like for example, at verse 1, if you look with me at these, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth of the matter?" And of course, the truth of the matter is at least a clean, clear grasp of law versus grace. There were some in the Galatian churches, in that day particularly, that tried to mix law and grace, saying especially the Gentile converts had to, at least to some degree, be compliant with the Mosaic law in order to be fully justified. And that Paul roundly disputes and refutes very effectively in several of his epistles. And so he likens them to fools. Who would bewitch you should not obey the truth. Then in verse number 2, he asks another question. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law? While we're thinking about the law, don't lose your place here. Go back to Exodus chapter 20 so that you can see what he's asking. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Which would suggest, at least in part, a fallacy that's posed or grasped by many is that before God is willing to save anybody, they must at least come up to a certain minimal standard. Certain minimal standard. Then when they arrive there, God may determine to save. Now look at the law in Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, verse 3. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. that's in earth beneath, or the water under the earth. You jump down there to verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Then verse 8. Remember this Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse number 6. Thou shalt not kill. Verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Then verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet. Now, if you think about all those, the essential 10, and then add to that the hundreds more that the tribal authorities and the legal scholars sought to impose, you come back again to Galatians chapter 3, and it is said there, in verse number 10, it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you read those basic 10 commandments, and the minimal standard that God holds to the creature is, if it were possible to be justified by the keeping of the law, you must keep the law perfectly. Every day, all 10 commandments with all the stipulations. But it is not possible, according to what you read in Scripture, for people to keep the law. So the question again that we ask in Galatians 3 verse 2, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, with regard to the obedience to it, or the other one, received ye the Spirit by the hearing of faith? Okay. Then verse number 3. He said, are you so foolish? He says, having begun in the Spirit, because the obvious answer to the question posed in verse number 2, he assumes an understanding in verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you, here's the next question, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you now made perfect by the flesh, which is, we can understand, pointing at practical sanctification? Many people rightly believe that they cannot be saved by the keeping of the law because it's impossible, but they do, on the other hand, might have a mutated form of an understanding of the law when they think that sanctification is due, at least in part, the large majority, in part, toward the contribution toward our sanctification. And that is not any more true than being saved by the law. Our sanctification is not due in any part to the keeping of the law. We are no more able to keep the law in order to earn salvation than we are to keep the law in order to gain in progressive sanctification. Neither one fits the mold. So these questions he asks these Galatians, because they had been compromised. There were people who entered into the Galatian churches and were sowing seeds of compromise, trying to get this hybrid gospel, grace and works, as both being essential and necessary. Then in verse number 5, he asks another question or so. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The works of the law or the hearing of faith? Interesting that when we think about miracles are something that when they occurred were done supernaturally, totally divorced from any relationship to human energy. So he asked these questions. Now, look over at Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Romans chapter 8. Verse And verse number 3. Keep in mind that the law has no electric connection. There's no power. Verse 3. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we look at verse 3, what the law could not do, which was essentially make me and you free from the law of sin and death, God did in sending His own Son, as He wrote to the Galatians, evidently crucified among you. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law was impotent to do that. Now, I happened upon this little anecdote that was recorded many, many years ago by Dr. DeHaan. He said, in recounting a friend who was a watchmaker and a repairman, he said he took a visitor through his shop and he showed him two different ways of regulating the time of the various instruments on his shelves. In one case, a signal was sounded at regular intervals, telling the correct time and revealing the error of the timepieces that were on the shelves. That was one way. So whenever that thing would sound and it would reveal the error, the man would quickly go to the timepiece and correct it so that everything for at least a while would be synchronized. But he said that's all the signal could do, was point out that the clocks on the shelf were wrong. But it couldn't do anything more than point out the error. Now, if they were wrong, of course, signal would reveal the error, but then other means were necessary to correct. This is the law. It strikes the signal, but it cannot repair the wrong. So when you read in Exodus 20 about the Ten Commandments, understand that its purpose was to point out the error. In no way does it have power to correct the error. That means the second phase of the watchmaker's explanation to his visitor was this. He said in his second way of regulating the timepieces, in which he connected the clocks, a different set of clocks, different shelf, in such a way that the clocks were controlled by a master timepiece that synchronized each of the other timepieces beat by beat by beat by beat. It was always under the control of the constant corrector. That he likened to grace. Always under the control of the corrector. For what the law could not do, grace is able to do. You cannot keep in step with the master, he says, unless you are in constant communication. Check the lines today and be sure that the lines are open. And he said all that to conclude this. The law can only reveal sin. It's like a teacher. It's powerless to save from sin. It can show us our weakness, but it can't provide the strength. It can only condemn. It can't justify. The law commands, thou shalt not, but it does not enable. It does not enable. The law slays, it kills, but grace alone can make alive. Grace disposes and gives the needed power. Law is outward. Grace is inward. And so the take home is this. Salvation is by grace through faith. That's a gift of God. God saves, God sanctifies, and God secures, not by the law, but by grace, the gift. Now, those questions, I think, are answered perfectly when we realize that over and over again, numerous places where he addresses the subject of law and grace, he keeps reiterating to the reader, the law has limitations. By design, it was never designed by God to be the means whereby sinners could be read a copy of Moses' law, believe it, and be saved. It was never for that purpose. It was pointed out. It was the divine purpose was to point out sin so that man, the sinner, would realize how futile his efforts would be in trying to swim to safety rather than casting his all on the beam of the cross and be taken by the Lord into safe haven. Our dear Heavenly Father, would you allow us to rejoice tonight in the Word, in the truth of grace, how you save, how you keep, and your intentions to present us faultless. Not because we will have learned to keep the law perfectly, because that we will never do, but simply because of your grace. How we adore you for it and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.